Hello, and welcome to the SAP Coffee Corner Radio, with listeners in countries ranging from Norway to the United Arab Emirates. This episode, Simon and I have a look at the actual Coffee Corner on the SAP community, and pick out a few discussions of what's going on in there. So grab a coffee, and enjoy the show.
Yeah, so for this episode, I had the idea that there is a section on the community website that covers Coffee Corner discussions, basically. Right? And since we're the Coffee Corner radio podcast, I thought it would be fitting to try to combine the two and spend a little bit of time looking up the sort of discussions and posts that were up on the Coffee Corner. So I have to admit, I sort of dropped in and out of the Coffee Corner a little bit over the years, but I haven't really spent a huge amount of time there. What about you, Jacob? Have you spent much time on the?
To be honest, not really. It's a place that you go in at times and just have a look, and it's not a very active space of the community, but it's more sort of that all content off topic seems to go in there, and there is honestly some pretty good laughs in there.
So it's not necessarily people asking questions or writing blog posts or anything. It's really just somebody starting a discussion and then seeing where it goes.
Yeah.
And I suppose, I mean, like you said, I kind of thought, oh, you know, maybe there's not that much going on, but the three sort of discussions that I picked out for this episode, I was kind of blown away by how many views that they've gotten and how many comments there are, right? So if we just start off with the first one. So the first one was by Morten Whitrock, and Morten posted a picture of a Lego build that he'd completed, right? It was one of those sets from the Avengers. It was the Hulk. What was it again?
Lego Hulkbuster Ultron Edition.
Hulkbuster. That's it. 1,363 pieces.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Which is quite impressive, right? But this post has got over 3,000 views and 69 comments, right? So it's pretty impressive, right? And so everyone's talking about Lego, obviously from their childhood, but also the sort of Lego kits and stuff that they build as adults as well, which was pretty interesting. And some of the pictures they've posted are awesome.
There's amazing stuff in here, and so I'm a huge Lego fan myself, obviously being from Denmark, and a big shout out to Morten, a fellow Dane. So some of these things and the pictures that's posted in here is absolutely crazy. I have to admit, I bought a Lego set for my 10-month-old son because so that was a Lego Technic set because it said from 10 to 16 on the package, and obviously that's 10 months, not 10 years. So I bought two Lego Technic sets just to build it. So I'm a massive fan of Lego myself.
Now, are you a fan? Like, one of the things that came up in the discussion was people saying, oh, you know, all these kits, they're, you know, the kits that, you know, you build and it turns out to be the Millennium Falcon or the Saturn V rocket or whatever it is, right? That they're not as, they don't sort of encourage as much imagination maybe as the older sets that were just, you know, you went out and you bought the generic blocks and you had to sort of design it yourself. Do you fall like one way or the other on that? Or?
Well, I think, so for myself, I love the kits. For my son, I prefer him to use the generic ones. So, but that's probably more because of, like, with the sets that he's got, and he's got like the PlayStation and heaps of Star Wars things and stuff, he tears them apart and then builds something else with them. And I, like, if you've seen the movie, the Lego movie, the first one, the Craggle, where it's basically just glue, then he wants to glue everything together so it can't be taken apart. I get that urge to just, don't, please don't, because it took us 3 days to put this together.
So my son does that too, right? We'll build whatever it is, whatever the actual, you know, it's supposed to be. We build that, And then I'll go into his room and all those pieces will be in with all the other millions of pieces of Lego. Exactly. He's like, we're never ever building that again, are we? that was a one-off. But then he uses all those pieces to build something different, right?
So yeah. Oh, we did. So we, Melina, my wife and I, we spent like 3 days on the, like he's got a massive set. So he inherited Lego from my brothers, myself. So he's got a massive, massive box of Lego. And we spent like 2 days just picking out pieces and actually rebuilding some of the stuff that he had. And I was like, oh yeah, but now I keep it separate, etc. Just like it was a matter of days before everything just went back into the dark side.
Big pile.
But it's Look, it's I reckon it's an awesome toy, and I absolutely love the imagination. I think it's hard, especially at being a parent, to sort of let go of that urge just to glue everything together because you just want to sit there. Don't play with it. Just let it sit.
But actually, in some of the comments as well, they mentioned the, what was it called? Lego Serious Play. So it's some sort of, I have seen this before. It sparked a memory for me where it's like a corporate thing to sort of encourage people to be more creative in meetings, where they have this sort of Lego facilitated workshop type of thing. Did you see that?
No, I must have missed that.
Okay, I need to have a look into that because that sounded really interesting. It to me, it kind of sounded a bit like maybe, you know, the way the design thinking process runs you through certain sort of activities and things like that. It sounded like like this serious play was a kind of a process that used Lego to kind of get people into a more creative headspace. So I need to find out a bit more about that.
I think that will be a very good sort of startup session for getting warmed up to being creative, especially at like a design thinking session, which is pretty intensive. But this could be sort of a fun breakout session or something where you just go, okay, well, now let's do something completely different for half an hour or whatever it is.
Probably make people quite uncomfortable, I can imagine. Because sometimes when I do some of the design thinking stuff and I'm in the room with, you know, managers and sort of CIOs or whatever, and we're doing an exercise and, you know, maybe it feels a little bit trivial or playful. Even that can be a bit awkward sometimes, right? You kind of get the feeling like they're looking at you, going, "Why are we doing this?
am I paying you for that?"
That's right. Imagine whipping out the Lego set, and I might get some funny looks. But anyway, I think it's pretty interesting. I think we lose that ability to play maybe a little bit when we get older.
I'd say completely. Like, yeah. I find now, like, I used to be able to build a square box and think it was a submarine, or like when I was a kid and stuff like that. Today, I actually love spending some time with my son and just building crazy cars or spaceships or whatever it is. Yeah. But it tends to sort of always be one of those. Like, he can build the craziest stuff and just make up awesome things. He's 7, so albeit it's not very advanced stuff, but it can be whatever he wants, where I'm still stuck in my, either it's a car or it's a spaceship kind of thing.
Yeah, right. But, it's interesting. So, it was, like I said, there were 69 comments on this. Some of the friends of the podcast as well, so Craig Schmehill, who we had on the SAP Champions podcast last. Craig's posted lots of pictures of his Lego builds.
DJ Adam posted some stop motion Lego movies.
Yeah, that looks pretty cool too, actually.
I must admit, so I worked in Malaysia, as you know, a couple of years ago, and there are some absolutely Lego maniacs over there. And some of the people I work with was that they just had, like, they bought all the like the Lego City stuff. And I think who did that comment?
Steffi,
yeah, and some of that, and they just have so much of it. It's absolutely amazing.
That's pretty cool. And there was a mention of the SAP Inside Track Kids events too. I think Lego plays quite a big role in those events too. So
that's amazing.
It's pretty cool. I guess we'd encourage everyone to go and have a look at that.
Post pictures. Post pictures if you are legophiliac like the rest of us.
I mean, it's clearly hit a chord with the community.
Absolutely.
So that was pretty. That's pretty cool. So that was the first. That was the first discussion I picked up. Now this next one has even more views, even more comments. I'm even more blown away by this. So this was by Yelena, and Yelena posted a discussion around what she called ABAP gore, right? And this was pretty interesting too. I think we've probably all come across this at some stage, right? Where we've come across code, where it might be our own code we'd written a while ago, or you're reviewing somebody else's code. And you just look at it and you kind of go, what the hell were they thinking? Or what the hell was I thinking when I wrote that, right? And so this post, I'll let you talk about this because I know this is something we discussed just a few days ago where you were talking to me about some of the code that you were looking at. But this post has over 6,000 views. 224 comments.
Funnily enough, only 16 likes.
Only 16 likes. Wow, you've got to sign in to like it, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I guess you just have to sign in to comment on it as well, right?
Yeah.
That kind of blew me away. I have to say, I have not been through all 224 comments. And I do find some of them, you have to be a bit of a propeller head developer, maybe to get all of this stuff too. Some of it's maybe a bit too subtle for me. I haven't done a lot of development in ABAP for many years, but really, really some interesting comments and funny stuff in there. So do you want to tell your story?
Well, yeah. So my story was I recently revisited a blog I wrote about 3 years ago. And I had the stuff that I did back then. I had it in a GitHub repository. So I went back, and this was a UI5 app that I did back then. I went back and what needed to basically copy the example. And I had, if you know UI5, so I had JSON models left, right, and center. I had a JavaScript view. It was horrible. I was sitting there like crunching my toes looking at that. So I went back to my customer and said, look, I'm sorry, but I need to rebuild this. I can't just build on top of it because it's so crap. So I absolutely get it. And that's even like ABAP, UI5, whatever it is, like this where you sort of sometimes you leave code for a bit and then you go back to it and you're going, what the hell was I thinking? And like some of the comments here, even the first one from Yelena where you got some variables where it's just weird stuff that doesn't say anything. And then there's a comment saying, oh yeah, but this means that. So v_pt and then the comment saying that's the processor type. So that's going to be excellent down the track with like a couple of thousand lines of program code. And then you got v_pt.
So one of my favorite ones was DJ. DJ posted something here, I need to find it, where he was like reviewing something and someone had declared a constant for, oh, here we go. They declared a constant c_20 with a field length of 2 and the value was 25. So
I saw that as well.
So they'd gone back in at a later point and changed the value to 25, but the constant name was still c_20. So that was pretty great. But
I found another one with a method for returning sidedatum. So there's a data lvdate type sidedatum. Lvdate equals sidedatum. The return value equals lvdate.
Yeah, yeah. About 6 lines of code where they didn't need it at all. Anyways, that's funny. But I mean, I guess there's two different things here, right? There's just crazy stuff like that that just doesn't make sense, didn't make sense then and doesn't make sense now. Mm. But what you were talking about really was maybe, things change as well, right? Especially in the UI5 space. Yeah. You'll do something one way and then you'll find out, oh, they've actually changed the way you do that, and this new way is the best practice, and then, you know, what you've done before starts to look a bit silly, right?
Yeah, but it all comes down to sort of the agile concept of technical debt. Like, you do something one way, and then you realize, well, you build upon it, and then when you come back to it later, you've realized actually it's not supposed to be like that anymore. So if you don't fix it, you're creating this technical debt that needs to be rectified at some later stage, or you just carry on and then building on top of it. And look, it's, I think, honestly, I think all of us are probably fighting that on almost a daily basis. And sometimes there's just too much pressure to deliver, whereas when we see something, like, oh, well, I don't have time to fix this now and actually make it correct, I'll just patch on top of it and whatever. And it's just sad that that's sort of what we do, but it's all in respect to timelines and deliverables and et cetera, right?
Yeah, yeah, no, that's understandable too. That's understandable too. Okay, so, and then, but yeah, so people should go and have a look at that if they want a bit of a laugh and...
Yeah, no, so just one. So first of all, I think it's awesome to see so many code examples and people actually coming out of the shell saying, oh yeah, I did that. I want to point to another blog that Colleen Hebert did, which is a sort of a similar concept where she's basically saying, oh, this is a blog post for you to admit your biggest mistakes.
Yes.
Yeah. And that comment blog, I don't have it. Let's see if I can find it just quickly. Actually has a lot of comments and views in there as well.
And so it's good to be able to sort of stand up there and say, you know, sort of let your guard down a bit and say, yeah, look, I'm not perfect. I don't pretend to be. And I mean, I guess people learn the most from your mistakes, right?
Absolutely.
I was listening to a podcast, BBC Formula One podcast, during the week, and they had an interview with Toto Wolff, and Toto Wolff is the team director for or the team principal for Mercedes F1, and he was talking about how in their culture they you know they really try to learn from the mistakes, right? And you know, he said when you win the Grand Prix, you know, you maybe don't learn so much as you do when you make a mistake, or you come second or third or last or whatever. Then you really start looking at what went wrong. And admittedly, Mercedes haven't done too much wrong recently, but it's really good. It's a really good attitude to have, I think, to be kind of, you know, fully embrace when you do fail and realize that when you fail at something, it's probably when you're learning the most, right? So.
Yeah, absolutely. The podcast details.
Hi, this is Florian from Germany, and you're listening to Sub Coffee Corner Radio Podcast.
Good. All right, so the final discussion that I picked up on was a recent one from Gregor Wolf. And so Gregor is sort of continuing almost an age old tradition around tech ed events, and he's posted that he is going to take the train this year from Munich to where he lives, I guess, to Barcelona for tech ed in Europe. And rather than fly, which would have had a carbon impact of 320 kilos. He's going to take the train, and that's only a carbon impact of 40 kilos. But apart from it being more environmentally friendly, he also points out that in the past there have been other initiatives like this to get people sort of together and to start collaborating before an event, right? So actually, just before we sat down to record this, I had a look at the video in the blog. Gregor mentions that in 2008, so what we're talking over 11 years ago, there was a train ride from Frankfurt, I think, to Berlin. I don't know how far that is. It's probably not that far. Definitely not as far as going down to Barcelona, but where there was a big group of SAP people who were going to the conference, and they all took the train together. And there's actually a video from Dennis Howlett of that train trip, and a lot of familiar faces on there. So Craig Schmahill was there, and Catherine Pedro was there. Oliver Cole was there with his iPhone. Now, this was 2008. I reckon that must have been the first iPhone.
He was riding the wave there.
he was talking about a web app that he'd written for the tech ed that was running on the iPhone. So that was that was pretty cool too, and pretty cutting edge. But so that was that video. People should go and have a look at that. That really brought back some memories for me. But also there's been the initiative of the Clue Bus for tech ed in Las Vegas. So I know of at least two times, maybe three times, when people have gotten together and taken a bus together from I think it was from San Francisco down to Las Vegas. And I guess it's a good opportunity to meet people and to talk about different things. And, you know, really that's the whole point of these events anyway. Like all the information that you get, you can probably get after the event through other channels, but you certainly can't report. It's much harder to replicate the people that you meet and the friendships that you make. So I think good on Gregor, apart from saving the planet with, you know, reducing his CO2 footprint. He's also encouraging people to, you know, to get out there before the event, collaborate, get to know each other, and really kind of start the event early, I guess. Have you ever taken one? Did you take the bus? No, I don't.
No, I didn't. I didn't take the bus when I was a ticket. Unfortunately, I'd love to. I think I'm not sure if Mike Doyle did. So a fellow local here in Australia. Yeah. But yeah, it is an amazing opportunity. And look, that's what community is all about. Like we have all the sort of the local inside tracks, etc., which is great for meeting your local community. But like obviously a tech head, you're there with 5,000 people or whatever it is, and it's really hard to make these connections. And like it's awesome. But actually having so like sitting on a train or on a bus, etc., just gives you an amazing opportunity to really get close to people and build these relationships more than you would do crying over a beer at a bar somewhere in Vegas or Barcelona or where it is.
I think you can have a beer on the bus too. It's probably okay.
Yeah. But what I mean, like you don't have all the music and all the other, it's more intimate.
Yeah, you get a bit more time to talk to people. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. And it's you know, like at the end of the day, him actually trying to make less of an impact, I think is really cool. And I know that at Sapphire, where we were lucky to be invited, they did really try as well to reduce the carbon footprint. So I think it's a general thing from SAP for the conferences to actually try and reduce the amount of plastics, et cetera, and all that stuff. But also, it's great to see that people from the community are actually thinking about this as well and say, okay, well, how can I do mine to help with this.
Yeah. So it doesn't help us too much, Gregor. I don't think either Jacob or I are going to be traveling on the train from Munich to Barcelona. You never know. But
might be surprised.
I guess if the listeners out there, if anyone's planning on heading down to Barcelona for Tech Ed and they're heading out of Munich, or I think Gregor said he's going Munich, Paris, and then Paris down. So if anyone wants to join him, have a look in the coffee corner and make some contact, because that could be a fun trip. I wonder how long that takes.
So it's six and a half hours from Paris to Barcelona.
That's not too bad, actually.
Yeah, that's all right. You can walk around, etc. And there's sort of like there's a massive community in Belgium and the Netherlands. So maybe some people from there would be interested in this, and obviously from the UK as well. So I think it's an awesome opportunity.
That's a nice fast train. If that was an Australian train, it would probably take 3.5 days to get down from.
That would be from Canberra to Sydney, which normally takes 6 hours.
don't get me started on that. Anyway, all right. So yeah, we encourage people to go and have a look at the coffee corner on the community website, and hopefully you'll find some interesting stuff. Now, before we wrap up, I have a couple of things, a couple of other things I wanted to get a plug in for. So I blogged recently myself. It's just a quick blog, really, to get people or to invite people to come onto the show, right? Did you see that? Did you see that blog?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So basically, the idea behind that is we want to hear the voice of the community on the show. And the invitation that I sent out was for people to come and leave us a message on the podcast. And basically in that message to just say who they were, where they're from, and say that, you know, you're listening to the SAP Coffee Corner Radio podcast. So we've got one person that's done it already. I definitely saw that we had, I think it was Florian, has left us the message with his greeting, which is great. We'll try to include that in this podcast then. The idea is that people can record that and we will use that in future podcasts. So encourage people to try to do that. Just, I guess, just check out on Twitter or on the community site. Just have a look for my most recent blog post.
I think I retweeted it with the Coffee Corner as well. So yeah, that would be excellent. We'll love to hear from you. Obviously, we'd love to have you as a guest as well. So if you have something you want to come on the show and talk about, give us a shout out and we'll be happy to host it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the final thing for me is sort of some self-promotion here. I'm busily organizing the first SAP Stumptish to take place in Canberra, the Australian capital. So if anyone out there is listening from Canberra, watch out. There's going to be an invite or an open invite to the first SAP Stumptish event in the Canberra region. So hopefully that goes well and we get some more local community engagement down in Canberra too. You've done Stumptishes in Brisbane, or are you just doing Inside Tracks so far?
So far it's only been Inside Tracks. I have been talking to some of the other guys about maybe starting up a Stumptish, but frankly, like I'm so invested in the family right now, and I've got three small kids that I need to make sure.
Yeah, it's hard to get everything done.
Yeah.
I mean, for people who don't know, the Stumptish is basically a German, I guess, phrase that essentially means like a local table, right? So if you go into a restaurant or a bar in Germany or Switzerland or Austria, there's the Stumptish, which is the place where all the locals sort of hang out, right? And so it's the idea with the SAP Stumptish is that it's for, you know, people who are interested in SAP. They can be technical or functional. They can be experts or just, you know, novices. It doesn't really matter, as long as they want to meet other people from the SAP community in their local area. And they just, we come along, we hang out. Everyone sort of, you know, pays for themselves, you know, drinks and food. It's just an opportunity to meet like-minded people and have a chat about what's going on. It's great for building your network and just meeting, you know, we all do this as a job. It's great to meet other people who do the same thing. So encourage people to, I think Stumptish is a good way to start. I mean, the Inside Tracks are great. They do take a little bit more organizing. Usually there's speakers and there's presentations and that sort of thing. But with the Stumptish, it's more just about getting together, having a chat, having something to eat, something to drink. So, and I have to say, I've seen lots and lots of Stumptish and Inside Track announcements. If you go into the community website, there is a relatively new area for all the events. And you can have a look at the Code Jams, the Inside Tracks, the Stumptish, and obviously the more formal events like Tech Ed and stuff. But there's a good new section on the community website that shows you all those upcoming events.
Absolutely.
All right. Is there anything else?
No, I think that's it. Obviously, as always, if you have any feedback for the podcast, give us a shout out on Twitter or go into Simon's blog and leave a comment.
Okay, thanks, Jacob.
Thank you, Simon.